Before we jump into this next piece, which appears on page 232 of the fifth volume, the title of the piece is Bameh B'Shofar. And it's hard to know what that's a reference to if you don't know the Gemara that he's referring to. So let me show you the Gemara that he's referring to, just by way of introduction. There's a Gemara in Rosh Hashanah on Daf Tes Zayin Amud Aleph, where the Gemara is talking about the various Rosh Hashanahs, the various starting points of the calendar year. And the Gemara asks the question right over here on the page, Rosh Hashanah Tes Zayin Amud Aleph. You have it on the screen in front of you. Mipnei ma amra Torah nischu mayim b'chag. Why did the Torah tell us that we should have a water pouring ceremony on Chag? Chag, of course, means Sukkos. Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, Nischu lefanai mayim b'chag, kedei sheyisbarchu lechem gishmei shana. Pour water before me on Sukkos, so that you should be blessed with proper water during the year. Obviously, in an agricultural society, which most Jews were once upon a time, farmers, so you think a lot about the rain season, you think a lot about your crops. So on Sukkos, we ask HaKadosh Baruch Hu to help us to have a proper amount of water during the year. Okay, continues the Gemara. Va'amru lefanai b'Rosh Hashanah malchios zichronos v'shofros. We know that the Musaf of Rosh Hashanah is structured three sections. We recite psukim and a bracha about malchios, about kingship. We recite psukim and a bracha about zichronos, about remembrances, and then we have shofros. And the Gemara explains, Malchios, why do we say Malchios? Kedei shetamlichuni aleichem, so that you will make Hashem king over yourself. Zichronos, what are the remembrances? Kedei shiyala zichronechem lefanai, lefova. Why do we say Zichronos? So that HaKadosh Baruch Hu should remember all the good things that we did, and Hashem will want to bless us with a good year. And then the Gemara says, and what about what is the shofros? Uvameh? And how do I crown Hashem king and simultaneously remind Hashem who I am? The Gemara has two words. How do I do it? Bameh? What is the mechanism by which I do it? The answer is bashofar. The shofar is the way that I do it. Shofar is the way that I crown Hashem king and I remind Hashem who I am, hopefully bringing blessing upon myself. So, Chevre, that's the title of our piece today, Bameh B'Shofar. With what do we remind Hashem of who we are? With what do we crown Hashem King? We do so with the shofar. Okay, that's where Rav Dessler got these two words, which is the title of our piece. Okay, so Chevre, let's look inside. It's just a short piece, a couple of paragraphs, but again, it's very, very deep. We'll see. We have some longer essays from Rav Dessler. We have some shorter pieces. Okay, but let's see if we can break it down. Acharei kol hakavanos. Ha'ikar b'tkiyas shofar hu hisorus, says Rav Dessler. After all the fancy, I mean, there are svarim written with all sorts of kavanos for the shofar. Someone in my neighborhood was asking me. They know that I like learning, you know, Sifrei Chassidus. So someone stopped by on Shabbos, a friend of mine, and he said, "I'm blowing shofar for the first time. Do you have like a good sefer of the kavanos?" And I said, I know what you're asking for, like the kavanos of the Arizal. I don't know anything about that. I don't know how to do that. I don't know how that works. Again, I could lend you some books that I don't really know how to read that I have on my shelf, right? There's all sorts of intentions that a Baal Tokeya is supposed to have and to tap into the deeper meaning of everything that has to do with shofar. Rav Sadia Gaon in the 10th century has a list of 10 reasons why we blow the shofar. What are we trying to accomplish with shofar? But Chevre, if I were to ask you in one word to tell me, what is the main goal of the shofar? Rav Dessler says, after all the kavanos, ha'ikar b'tkia shofar hu, the main point of the shofar is hisorerus. How would you translate the word hisorerus? Awakening or arousal, right? To wake up. Now, let's pause for a second. Okay, because the truth is, we have to just ask ourselves the following question. What is the essence of the mitzvah of shofar? Why do we blow a shofar? Why do we blow a shofar? For those who've been in the shir for a while, you've heard me do this many times. Why do we blow the shofar? Right, if someone stops you in the street and says to you, "Josh Weinstein, why do we blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah?" What would you answer him, Josh? What would you say? What's your initial response?
I think it's just like to wake everyone up to what's going on and like It's also like the one of like the big symbols of the day.
Okay, it's the wake-up call, right? That's what Rav Dassler says in one word, hisoros. It's arousal. It's a wake-up call. But the truth is, that's not the best answer. It's not the most true answer. However, what's the most true answer as to why the Jewish people blow a shofar on Rosh Hashanah? And I want to make this point. I always make this point. I want to make it again. Who knows why?
Because Hashem told us to.
There you go. Because Hashem said so. Excellent. Hashem told us so, right? We have to remember that the reason we do everything that we do, the starting point is God said so. Okay? The Rambam in Hilchos Tshuva, which I have open in front of me, the Rambam writes in the third parak of Hilchos Tshuva, Af al pi shetekia shofar b'Rosh Hashanah gzeiras hakosuv. Even though the blowing of the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is first and foremost a decree of the verse. The pasuk says so. Hashem says so. And Chavre, it's very important to recognize that. The foundation of all mitzvos, you don't have to explain anything more to yourself or to anyone else other than the fact that the Torah says so. We have to really believe in that. And that's why I emphasize it all the time. It's so important. Because sometimes we want to do a mitzvah because it makes sense to us in a certain way. The starting point is God said so, period. Nonetheless, as the Rambam, Remez Yeshbo, there's obviously a deeper message to the shofar, and it's what Josh said. Klomar, Uru Yeshenim Mishenaschem, Vinirdamim Heikitsu Mitirdamaschem. Wake up, sleepy Jews, from your slumber, and wake up not only from your sleep, but from your tardema. Tardema means like a deep sleep. Okay? So, yes, I want to just emphasize again that the real essence of the shofar is to do what God says. But obviously, if you were to ask for a little bit more than that, the first thing that comes to mind, Josh is correct, and the Rambam himself says it, and it's the feeling we're supposed to get from the shofar, is his orus. It's a wake-up call. Okay? Now, what exactly is being aroused through the shofar? What is the awakening of the shofar? So says Rav Dessler, Ayin Tosvos Rosh Hashanah Tez Zayin Amud Beis. If you look in Tosvos in Meseches Rosh Hashanah, Alama tokim b'yeshiva uva amida kedei la'arvev es ha-satan. The Gemara says we blow the shofar twice. We blow the shofar b'yeshiva while we're sitting, and then we blow the shofar b'amida while we're standing. Chaver, did you ever sit for shofar? Who here has sat for tekiya shofar? I usually stand when they blow the shofar. Everyone around me stands also. So what is the Gemara talking about? The shofar that we blow while sitting and the shofar we blow while standing. So this refers to the tekiya shofar. Yeah, Dov, let's hear.
Isn't it referring to the tekiya shofar that's during, because there's a shatz as the one that's standing and the one that isn't for the one that's sitting?
Right, so technically, right, first we blow a series of kolos before musaf. Right? We blow a series of shofar sounds before musaf. Technically, you're allowed to sit for that. We happen to stand out of perhaps respect to the shofar, maybe other halachic considerations, but technically that's the so to speak, the shofar of sitting. What's the shofar of standing? The shofar of standing will be the shofar that we sound either during the silent Shmona Esrei of Musaf, if you daven Nusach Svard in some places, right? Or during the Chazaras Hashatz of Musaf, when we're standing. That's during the Amida, right? Another word for Shmona Esrei, when you're standing. Okay, why do we blow the shofar twice? The Gemara wants to know. Kedei la'arvev es ha-satan. In order to confuse the satan. Now, chaver, here's where things get exciting. What does that mean that we blow the shofar twice? And a lot of great Torah has been written about this. What does it mean we blow the shofar twice to confuse the satan? So Tosvos quotes a Yerushalmi. But before I tell you that, I want to tell you two other explanations. Okay, and then we'll see what's on the page in front of us. What do you think? What does it mean to confuse the satan? How does blowing the shofar twice confuse the satan? What do you think Rashi would say on such a Gemara? How does blowing the shofar twice get the satan anxious? The satan, irbuv. Irbuv means like the satan's confounded. The satan is distracted, is overwhelmed. How does blowing the shofar twice overwhelm the satan? Yeah, Shoval, let's hear.
I'm thinking that we know when Mashiach comes, the shofar is going to be blown, so he knows once the shofar is being blown, Mashiach's coming, and the Yetzer Hara is going to be gone.
Okay, but what about it? But that's true. That's dafka when we blow it back to back. I mean, why is the double blowing of the shofar? You're definitely correct. That's definitely one of the images of the shofar, and we'll see. That's part of what the Yerushalmi is about to say. But why? What specifically about blowing the shofar twice is so intimidating to the satan? That's my question. You're right. The shofar definitely hints to Mashiach, and that scares the Yetzirah, that scares the Satan, which is one and the same. The Yetzirah is the Satan, right? But why Dafka blowing the shofar twice? What's so intimidating about that? So Rashi writes over there in the Gemara, it's not on the page in front of you. Rashi writes, I'll read it to you, Shelo yastin kishayishma Yisrael mechavvin es hamitzvos mistatmin dvarav. The Satan doesn't feel that he can prosecute against us when he sees how much, what are the keywords? Mechavvin es hamitzvos. He sees we love mitzvos. We don't just do it once, we do it twice. Chevra, if you love this piece from the Michta Me'ilayo, you're not only going to listen to it and take some notes on it right now, but you're going to share it with someone else. And when the Satan sees that, wow, this person loves it so much that they didn't just do it once, they did it twice, the Satan feels he has nothing to say against the Jewish people. That's Rashi. The Ran, Rabbeinu Nisim, in the back of the Gemara, the Ran, one of the great Rishonim, the Ran writes that in what way does the shofar scare the Satan? The Ran says, Lahachnia es hayetzer. Scaring the Satan really means scaring the Yetzirah inside of us. And that's, again, the general feeling we're supposed to have from the shofar. That when I hear the shofar, it's intimidating. It's a scary sound. It makes me think. So what am I scaring? Which part of myself am I trying to intimidate? I'm trying to intimidate the Yetzirah inside of myself. And he quotes the Gemara in Bava Basra that the Satan and the Malach Mavis and the Yetzirah are all one angel. Okay? So Rashi again says, when we blow the shofar twice, it shows how much we love mitzvos. That intimidates the Satan. Maybe the sound of the shofar scares not the Satan out there, but the Satan inside of ourselves, the Yetzirah inside of ourselves. But Tosfos, back on the page in front of us, quotes a Yerushalmi, the Talmud Yerushalmi. The Talmud Yerushalmi says, look at the words, Kadshama ha-Satan kol shipura zimnachada. When the Satan hears the call, the sound of the shofar, zimnachada, one time, bahil v'lo bahil. He's anxious, but not so anxious. Right? He's starting to get antsy, but he's not sure exactly what's happening. V'kad shama tinyan, but when he hears it a second time, Amar, the Satan says to himself, like Shoval told us, Vadai zehu shipura ditaka b'shofar gadol. This is the shofar of the great shofar of the future. This is the shofar of Mashiach. However, what do we daven every day in Shmona Esrei? Tika b'shofar gadol l'cheiruseinu. Right. So when the Yetzirah hears the second shofar sound, he says, "Oh my gosh, this is it. This is Mashiach." And why is that so scary for the Yetzirah? Umata zimne l'mitbala. His time has arrived to disappear. There's not going to be a Yetzirah anymore with Mashiach's arrival. And therefore, Misarvev, the Yetzirah, is scared for his own life, v'leisle panai lemeved kategoria. And he doesn't have panai, he doesn't have the freedom, he doesn't have the availability to make kitrug, to make prosecution against us. Okay? That is Tosfos' explanation from the Talmud Yerushalmi. When he hears the shofar the first time, he's a little bit anxious. When he hears the shofar the second time, he becomes so disoriented, he's so scared for his own life, that he doesn't have the ability to focus on us and to try to get us in trouble. Okay? Chava, hang on to the questions for just a moment, and let's just go a drop further. Okay? I'll make sure we have time to hear comments. V'yadua, so Chava, so listen. So that's, again, so far what we've learned. We learned a lot today already. We learned the Gemara and Rosh Hashanah. We learned the Rashi. We learned the Ran. We learned Tosos. We already had half a Gemara shir. Okay, good. So now, says our Rebbe, the Heiliger of Dessler, V'yadua shekitrug v'hasasa hainu hach. When we say that the Yetzirah, that the Satan wants to be mekatrig, he wants to prosecute against us, we picture that court case taking place in heaven. So we know that kitrug and hasasa hainu hach. Kitrug, prosecution, speaking against us, v'hasasa, and seducing us, trying to entice us to sin, it's one and the same thing. So therefore what? Imkain, midabrim al hachlashas koach hasatan lehesis. So what we're really describing, and it's similar to what we said in the Ran, is that we're subduing, we're weakening, hachlashas hakoach, we're weakening the strength of the Satan to what? To tempt us. We're crushing the Satan inside of ourselves. What does it mean that the Satan at first is Bahil velo Bahil? At first the Satan is a little bit intimidated, but not fully intimidated. However, it's the same way that we all go through those moments in our life where we're grappling, where we know the right thing to do. We know we shouldn't give in to the Yetzirah. We're still a little bit tempted. And there's that struggle, right? You're at that point of conflict. You're struggling. I know I shouldn't do this, but I kind of want to do this, but I know I shouldn't do this. And you're going back and forth in that way. Hainu, shehaisoris harishona adayin eina po'elis lagamri. And Chav, you're going to see why this is so relevant to making the effort to make sure that you come to Shir every single day, because it's cumulative and it's exponential. When you hear something the first time, that first tisoris, that first sound of that first blast of the shofar, adayin eino po'elis lagamrei, it doesn't impact the person fully. It doesn't change you instantly. Masha'ein kein kisha'ose pam shnia. But when you hear it a second time, and maybe because our hearts are so dull, maybe that's why throughout Chodesh Elul we need to hear it not just once, but twice and three times and four times and five times and six times. We need to hear a lot of shofar blasts. We'll talk in tomorrow's Gemara Shir. How many times do we sound the shofar on Rosh Hashanah? And what's the source for that? Right? Is it 30 kolos? Is it 9 kolos? Is it 100 kolos? But the more that you drill, so to speak, that sound of the shofar into your heart, the more it starts to change a person. Says Rav Dessler, when you hear it the second time, bitat hakara, in your subconscious, tas hakara means subconscious, in your subconscious, harishamim mitstarfim upoel harbe, the rishamim, the impressions, start to mitstaref, they start to come together, upoel harbe, and it starts to make a difference. And then Rav Dessler reminds us of something very important psychologically. Kumo behifich, the same way the opposite is true, Avar Vishana Nasis Keheter. What's he referring to? There's a Gemara in Kedushin on Daf Mem Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, when a person does an Avera, when he's Avar Avera, and then he repeats the Avera, you know what happens? Nasis Keheter. You start to think that it's Mutter. So the Gemara says, what? Because you did it twice, now it's Mutter? No. Not that it becomes Mutter, but you start to think it's not a big deal. I can tell you that anyone I've ever spoken to who struggled with whatever it is. Let's say someone who I spoke to a couple of weeks ago who was struggling with keeping Shabbos. Rachmana Litzlan. Shabbos is the holy of holies. Shabbos is mamish, the biggest thing in the world. But I was talking to someone who was struggling with keeping Shabbos. And we were talking about, you know, kind of that process by which he came to slip away from the observance of Shabbos. And he told me, and I said, tell me the difference between the first time you violated Shabbos and the second and the third and the fourth and the fifth. Right? And he said, the first time that I did it, I was trembling. Right? I was so like afraid. Now, he wasn't afraid that he was going to get struck down by a lightning bolt. That wasn't what he was afraid of. But there was a certain line he had never crossed before. What Chazal are telling us is that when you repeat averas, when you do averas over and over and over again, you become so dull, your senses become so dull, so numb to the Avera, it doesn't register anymore. You don't think about it. It doesn't bother you the same way it once did. The first time you did the Avera, you felt so bad. The second time, not as bad. The third time, you hardly notice it anymore. So the same thing is true, says Rav Dessler, in the tshuva process. Right? When you get hit by that first blast of the shofar, it shakes you up a little bit. When you get hit that second time, and again, when the satan gets hit, the satan meaning the yitzhar inside of ourselves, now it starts to pile up, it starts to compound. Let me ask you a question. What do you think is a better way to give tzedakah? Okay? Imagine you have a $100 bill or you have 100 singles. What do you think is better? Is it better to give $100 to one person or one organization? Or do you think it's better to give $1 a day for 100 days in a row? What are the advantages of each one? Yehuda Brin, welcome back to Shir. Tell us, Yehuda, what do you think is better? Which is going to be more impactful? Giving a $100 bill to a person and helping a person in a greater way? Or giving out, you know, a dollar to 100 different people over the course of 100 days?
I think it's the same.
You think it's the same because it's the same $100?
Yeah.
So if you do it in one shot or if you break it up, it's the same. Okay. No, what else, Chaver? What do you think? Yeah, Gabriel Marin, Shlita. Let's hear.
think it's better to split it up and do one a day.
Yeah, why?
At the end of the day, you are given the same amount of money, but you're able to either give someone else every other day, or it's, in a way, every other day it's a new mitzvah that you're accomplishing.
Right, right. There's definitely what to say for that. Right. On the one hand, maybe the impact in terms of that, the person on the receiving end won't, you know, they won't benefit as much from a dollar as they would from a $100 bill. Right. But in terms of training myself, there's no question that I'm, in a certain sense, I'm getting more mitzvos by giving tzedakah more regularly. Yeah, Evan, what do you want to say?
Yeah, that was what I was going to say. Like, according to Rav Dessler, it would be if you constantly do it over and over again, 100 days in a row, it becomes ingrained in you, and it's
right. It becomes right, right.
You, but to the person on the receiving end, it might, you know, be more effective to just give one person $100. That would change their life, as opposed to giving a bunch of people
right
$1. So it's from a different perspective, like you were saying.
Right, so it's clear that there are advantages both ways, but there's a Mishnah I think is in the third parak of Avos. Yehuda Kolten will confirm. In the third parak of Avos, it says Hakol lefi rov hamaasa. Right, everything is in accordance with the rov hamaasa, with the rov, the abundance of doing. So the Rambam writes in his commentary on Pirkei Avos, right? The Rambam says it's not how big the action is. But it's rove, it's how regular the action is. And the Rambam gives exactly this mashal. If you give tzedakah every day, a little bit every day, so you'll become a different type of person. You'll become the type of person who gives tzedakah all the time. That'll become second nature to you. And that's exactly, again, psychologically, that's what Rav Dessler's saying here. When you hear the first blast of the shofar, it shakes you a little bit. But when you hear it again, it starts to really add up. It starts to compound. To the point that, again, the same way that when a person does averas repeatedly, they start to lose their sensitivity. When they do mitzvos repeatedly, or where they have that awakening over and over and over again, you know, sometimes it's true about literally waking up in the morning, right? The first time the alarm goes off, you know, you hit the snooze button, you don't get out of bed. But by the third or fourth time, right, maybe you get out of bed. Now, you might just say, well, it's getting later, so now I feel, you know, the time pressure to meet my schedule. Right? But it could also be the fact that now that you've heard the alarm three times, you say to yourself, well, what's the point of setting the alarm if it's not going to wake me up? So by the third time, by the fourth time, for some people, you know, they're ready to finally get the message. And again, that's part of what we're doing when we blow the shofar again and again and again. We're understanding that human psychology, it takes time to change a person. And therefore, we're hammering home that message of the shofar with the hope that it eventually will change us in a deep way. Okay? Says Rav Dessler, V'inyan shofar gadol. So according to this, what is the big shofar of Mashiach? What is the tekah b'shofar gadol l'cheiruseinu, the shofar that sets us free? Right? What is the shofar of Mashiach? Is it just louder? What does it make? What makes it a shofar gadol? It's the loudest shofar you ever heard? What is it about the shofar of Mashiach that's so powerful? So says Rav Dessler, it's nothing to do with the number of decibels of the shofar blast. The shofar gadol of Mashiach is what? Hu roshem gamor. It's when a person finally internalizes it in the deepest and clearest way, where there's no turning back. How does Mashiach destroy the Yetzer Hara? By getting a person to recognize with the utmost clarity, I'm never listening to the Yetzer Hara again. That's what makes him die. That's what makes him disappear. So the shofar gadol Mashiach is the absolute internalization, a shinoi gamor behakara, a complete change of perspective. V'zeh b'chinas geula mamish, and that's real geula. Real geula is when you could take a certain yetzahara that you once had and say, I'm done with you forever. I'm not falling back in. I'm not going to succumb to that temptation anymore. I've heard the shofar gadol. It made such a rosham upon me that it blew up the yetzahara. There's no turning back. And that is geula, that's redemption. That's freeing yourself from whatever it is that's holding you back. Says Rav Dessler, what we're trying to experience as individuals by hearing the shofar on Rosh Hashanah is what's going to happen to us collectively when Mashiach comes. When Mashiach comes, this Shabbos was the yard site of Rav Tzadok HaKohen of Lublin. Rav Tzadok writes in one of his svarim, he says that when the sound of the shofar of Mashiach comes, every single Jew, the most rebellious, wicked, disconnected, you know, disinterested Jew is going to come running after the sound of the shofar of Mashiach. Every Jew, it could be Michal Shabbos, could be living with his non-Jewish girlfriend. He's going to drop it all in a second and come racing back to Yerushalayim Yer Kodesh. Because there's something about that recognition that becomes so clear that it's so obvious what a person needs to do. So says Rav Dessler, what we're trying to experience as individuals now, we will experience collectively when Mashiach comes. As the Ramchal explains, Shalitzadig Yesh Bechinas Bias Mashiach Gam Ata. Amazing idea. The Ramchal, Rav Moshe Chaim Lutzato, the author of the Mesilas Yesharim, says that what a tzaddik is able to experience now is already Mashiach. You can experience Mashiach now, right? And this Rosh Hashanah, you can experience Mashiach. Chavith, let's think about it like this for a second. Again, the shofar of Rosh Hashanah is supposed to remind us of the shofar of Mashiach. Is it just a reminder? Or maybe it has the same power as the shofar of Mashiach. What does the shofar of Mashiach do for all of us? It sets us all free from the Yetzer Hara. So Chavith, if you listen in a real way to the shofar on Rosh Hashanah, you can go free from your Yetzer Hara. You can experience your personal geula. Like we say in Kabbalah Shabbos, Karva el Nafshi Ge'ala. Right? A personal redemption that a person can experience. And that's how tzaddikim live. There are tzaddikim who are experiencing Mashiach right now. Let me give you two examples. I want to give you two examples of tzaddikim experiencing Mashiach before Mashiach comes. Okay, I'll give you a more ancient example, and then I'll give you a more recent example. A more ancient example is Yaakov Avinu. Does anybody know when Yaakov Avinu experienced Mashiach, when the rest of the world was not yet experiencing Mashiach? Anyone know what I'm alluding to? When was Yaakov experiencing personal redemption? Anyone know what I'm referencing? When Klal Yisrael were going down to Mitzrayim, when things were getting really bad for the Jews in Mitzrayim, how many years did Yaakov Avinu live? Who knows? How long was Yaakov Avinu's life? How many 147. Years? 147. Excellent, Shoval. 147 years. How many of those years were spent in Mitzrayim? The last 17 years of Yaakov's life. Okay, the first 130 were not. The last 17 years of Yaakov's life, he lived in Mitzrayim. And how does the Torah describe Yaakov's experience in Mitzrayim? How does Parshas Vayechi begin? How does Parshas Vayechi describe the state of Yaakov Avinu? Vayechi Yaakov be'eretz Mitzrayim Shiva Esrei Shana. Right? You don't need Midrashim to know this source. It's a pasuk. Yaakov lived 17 years in Mitzrayim. Now, the Sfas Emes explains, what does it mean Yaakov lived in Mitzrayim? What are most Jews, you know, when you think back about your experience in Mitzrayim, well, what's the feeling you get? Right? You think about, those were the worst years of my life. I didn't even feel like I was alive. I was a slave to Paro. I had no autonomy. I had nothing. I was working b'chomer uvelveinim, b'chol avoda basada. It was avodas parach. It was backbreaking labor. And yet, vayichi Yaakov was alive in Mitzrayim. The Medrash says that while Klal Yisrael was experiencing galus in Mitzrayim, Yaakov was already by geula. Yaakov was not enslaved in Mitzrayim. Yaakov spent the last 17 years, those were some of the most comforting years of Yaakov's life. The earlier years, he was fighting with Esav, he was struggling with Lavan, his daughter Dina was being raped. In Mitzrayim, Yaakov was literally a koilelnik. He sat and learned Torah. Yomam v'layla. It was the best years of his life. 17 is Gematria Tov, is the good years of Yaakov Avinu. It was the best years. So how can it be that Yaakov Avinu is experiencing Geula as Klal Yisrael is literally getting consumed by the gullus of Mitzrayim? And the answer is because a tzaddik can close his door and can experience a personal geula, regardless of what's happening. The world could be burning, but the tzaddik has the ability to tap into a personal place of geula. That was Yaakov Avinu's experience in Mitzrayim. Let me give you a more recent version from the 1700s. There was a tzaddik, one of the earlier Talmidei Baal Shem Tov, Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, the Rebbe of Vitebsk. Rav Menachem Mendel of Vitebsk, one time they came to him and they said, Rebbe, there's someone outside screaming, claiming that Mashiach has arrived, that Mashiach is here. So the Rebbe of Vitebsk got up, different little versions of the story, but the basic story goes that the Rebbe of Vitebsk got up from his, you know, he was sitting at his desk or whatever learning. He got up from his desk. He went over to the window. He opened the window, stuck his head outside, took a whiff, took a smell of the air, and he said, Mashiach's not here. Mashiach's not here. Now, the Navi describes a certain scent of Mashiach that the Rebbe of Itavsk was looking for, so he stuck his head out the window to smell to see if Mashiach was here. So the Tzaddikim of Chabad, who would tell this story, and other sources tell it as well, asked the following question. Why did Rav Menachem Mendel of Itavsk have to stick his head out the window in order to see if Mashiach was there? Why couldn't he just smell the air in his own room? Chever, what's the answer? The answer is because in his room was already Mashiach. In his Dalet Amos, he was already living in Mashiach. He was experiencing Geula personally. He needed to know if the world was experiencing Mashiach. So he opened his window, stuck his head out the window, took a whiff and said, no, it's not it. I know it's not it yet. Right? That's the idea that a person can experience a personal redemption. And again, that's what we're trying to do on Rosh Hashanah. We're not trying to think about the time when the shofar, the big shofar, will sound in the world. I mean, halavai also. But on a smaller scale, on a more personal level, we're trying to let the shofar impact us in such a way that I experience personal redemption. That I pick a particular Yetzirah that I've struggled with for 5 years, 10 years, 15 years, my whole life, and I say, this Yetzirah it's finished this year. I'm killing it off. It's no longer going to be a part of my life. Okay, last paragraph for today. Va'ayin Zohar. If you look in the Zohar, she shofar dilatata ma'orer shofar dila'ela. The shofar down below awakens the shofar above. What does that mean? V'inyana, what that means is, shahashava lelev delatata milidei siyata deshmaya. When we allow the shofar, it's not just blowing the shofar, but when we allow the shofar to wake us up, so HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so to speak, in Shemayim, correspondingly wakes up. Right? One of the claims that Haman HaRasha said about Hashem is that Hashem is a sleepy God. The same way that the Jews are sleepy Jews, Hashem is a sleepy God. Hashem is not paying attention to us. Hashem is not interested in us. Right? When we wake ourselves up with the shofar down below, we wake up, so to speak, Hashem's mercy upon us from on high. Hashpah's kedusha mila'ela. We awaken a hashpah, an influx of holiness mila'ela from above. Uvezeh muvan mashetokim l'shofros. So, chevra, now we understand why we blow the shofar. Afshakvar tiku l'malchios u'lizichronos. Right? If I blow the shofar during the Malchios section of Musaf, and I blow the shofar in the Zichronos section of Musaf, why do I need to blow the shofar in the shofar section of Musaf? You understand what he's asking? Let's go back to the Gemara we started with for just one more minute. What was the Gemara? The Gemara said, right, we want to crown Hashem king. We want to be reminded, we want to awaken the remembrance of us before Hashem. How do we do it? We do it with a shofar. So we blow a shofar during Malchios, we blow a shofar during Zichronos, but what's the shofar of shofros? Have you understand the question? Why do we blow a shofar in the shofros section? The shofros section, so to speak, is already being fulfilled when we blew the shofar in Malchios, and we blew the shofar in Zichronos. We already blew the shofar twice during Musaf. What's the shofar of shofar? We've already fulfilled kvar kimu inyan bameh b'shofar. We've already achieved what the Gemara told us, which is what? Which is to blow the shofar to crown Hashem king. Blow the shofar to awaken Hashem's remembrance of Klal Yisrael. Why do we blow the shofar during the shofar section? Chaver, what's the answer? Ela tam hu lahazkir shofar dila'ela. What we're trying to say is, Hashem, the same way that we're blowing shofar, Hashem, we want you to blow shofar. We want you to blow the shofar in Shemayim. The holy Berditchever used to say, the Kedushas Levi, Rav Levi Yitzchak Berditchev, he used to say, Hashem, we've been blowing shofar for so many years. All we ask is, Hashem, now it's your turn to blow shofar just once. Just one time. Tika b'shofar gadol l'chei reseno, the shofar of Mashiach. We blow shofar every year. Hashem, just blow it one time. Why is Hashem not blowing the shofar? The answer is because we're not internalizing our shofar enough. We haven't taken the shofar to heart. Again, it's not some abstract idea. We're trying to defeat some satan out there. We're trying to confuse the satan. No, no. We're trying to regain our own clarity, and we're trying to scare the Yetzirah out of us to make better choices in the year ahead. Okay, Chaver, I want to conclude with one final insight, and that comes from a sefer, Imrei Pinchas. Imrei Pinchas, Rav Pinchas of Koritz. Rav Pinchas Koritzer was also one of the very early tzaddikim in the world of Chassidus, one of the early Talmidim of the Baal Shem Tov. I think he only met the Baal Shem Tov personally three times, but he was about 30 years younger than the Baal Shem Tov. And in his Sefer Imrei Pinchas, he has an amazing question. And I really want to, this is really a question for Tav Shin Pei Aleph. Definitely a question for us to think about this year. He says, the Tosfos that we started with, the Tosfos that quotes the Yerushalmi, we're trying to scare the Malach HaMavis, we're trying to scare the Satan, we're trying to scare the Yetzirah, right? We're trying to get him to think that the Shofar of Mashiach is coming. So he asks a very simple question. L'chora t'mua, it's very difficult to understand. How does he fall for it year after year? What happened last year? Last year we blew the shofar while we were sitting and while we were standing, to use Tosfos's or the Gemara's expression, right? We blew the shofar twice. And what happened? Did Mashiach come? Mashiach didn't come. And we did it the year before, and the Satan got scared. Mashiach's going to come. Mashiach didn't come. And we did it the year before, and the Satan got scared. Mashiach's going to come. And Mashiach didn't come. So doesn't the Satan learn after a number of years that, you know, it's nothing to be scared of? What are we trying to do as we frighten the Satan? How does he fall for the trick year after year after year? And Chevra, remember this. If you remember one thing from today, remember this Vart. Rav Pinchas Karatzer says, you know what happens? Debechol shana hasatan hu yetzer hara chadash. It's not the same Satan. The Satan we're trying to scare in the year Tavshin Pei Aleph, when we blow shofar in a couple of weeks on Rosh Hashanah, is different than the Satan we were trying to scare last year. A lot of new Yetzer Haras were created over the course of the last 6 months. I could tell you from you could probably tell yourself from your own experience, but certainly from my conversations with people, there's so many new struggles that people have. That means new Yetzer Haras, new challenges. There's a new Satan in town. There's a new Yetzer Hara every generation, from one year to the next. It's a new world, right? There's new challenges that we face that we never faced before. So the new Satan, the new Yetzirah that we're trying to fight against is a new force, right? But therefore, we have to also, again, try to take him on once again and to try to scare him and to try to say, you know what? As the Yetzirah starts to come up with all sorts of new ideas, what he's going to do to mess us up in Tavshin Pei Aleph, in 5781 of the Jewish calendar, we have to internalize the shofar that much stronger. We have to allow ourselves to experience that personal geula. That's what Rav Dessler is saying. Halavai, we should experience the geula together. But at the very least, to experience a personal geula, to say to at least one of these new Yetzer Haras that exist in the world, that's not my thing. That's not for me. Achet shechatanu lefanecha bi Yetzer Hara. Hashem, I'm sorry that I sinned before you with my Yetzer Hara. Isn't that every Avera? But the tzaddikim explain, I didn't have to give in to every Yetzirah. There were certain Yetziraths that were, you know, reasonable to struggle with, but there were certain Yetziraths I invited into my life. I didn't have to invite those into my life. There's things you've never done before. Don't do them in Tavshin Pei Aleph. The Yetzirah is going to come knocking. It's a new year. Maybe we'll try something new this year. Say thanks, but no thanks. You're not coming in. Right? And that's the internalization of the sound of the shofar. Okay? So it's an amazing piece, a beautiful piece from Rav Dessler. And if anyone wants to ask a question,